But our goal and our next steps are to go ahead and get permitted for the project that everybody nods their head and says, yes, we like this. We like this direction. And once we have those permits in place from both Army Corps and DEP, then we would start construction, hopefully within a two-year window.
And a local planning board as well. And what's crucial to those permits is that the cities bought into this, and that there's been public informational meetings, and now that's important to the whole permitting process. The other thing I wanted to mention was, even though the city might lag behind in some of these projects because of funding, I think, and you can maybe weigh in on this, is that because there's this private investment and it's a part of a bigger, larger story or picture, I think you can leverage that in requesting for grants. I think it looks good in the city's grant application that they're kind of part of a bigger thing that has private investment.
Well, there also may be potential for us to go back to the well, as it were, with the BIG funding as part of kind of a stage two project with the city that could include, you know, a different twist on it, i.e. funding for the, you know, the cruise ship pier and the central pier for public planning. I don't know that, but we worked with an organization out of Charleston, South Carolina that helped us write the grant application, and they were very successful. They also did the 58th 4th Street project in Portland and won the grant funding for that as well. So these guys are pretty sweet.
Who'd be doing the sediment testing and so on? Which company is that?
Bud Brown.
Bud Brown. Eco-analyst.
Oh, he's getting pretty familiar with the harbor here.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that got me excited about this was the public access along the waterfront, the walking path. It started at the South Beach and walked all the way along across our property. And you get to the end of our property, you kind of just stop and kind of go, now where do I go? And so the concept of having the boardwalk continue across the front of the city's land and going all the way over to the middle pier, which in my mind is an extremely underutilized piece of town property as far as a public park. And being able to work on that middle pier and create more of a functioning park that people can go there, sit down, have lunch, look out. And one of the pieces that Mike didn't touch on is the black line coming out on from the middle pier. At the end of that, there's a big viewing area contemplated so people can, the general public all the time, whether there's an event going on or not, can access that, stand out there, have a phenomenal view right out through the whole harbor. Whereas if you're in the inner, if you're down at the city landing right outside here, and a cruise ship, you know, is docked here, you don't see a nice cruise ship, but you don't see much more sometimes. And the more traffic you get, the more that will happen. But from that vantage point, anybody will be able to walk out there, whether there's something going on over here or not, and see the whole harbor, the, you know, breakwater, Owlshead Lighthouse, and everything all the time. It really starts to create and utilize more of the potential park access for the general public. And you could have kids' swing sets down there and barbecue grills. I mean, it could be awesome.
So what are those finger piers right on the on the cruise rift right in there?
They're just like, this one is I think 60 feet long. This one's 30 feet long. This one's
what would those be?
We probably use those for the current inhabitants of the pier. And then when the cruise ships aren't tendering, which is the majority of the year, we can use the rest of the pier space for more transient vessels.
Questions? Could you point again on the map to where Stu was referring to for where there would be additional public access and parks? Are you saying they'd walk all the way to the end of the middle pier, that they'd be public access?
The pier would come out, it would probably be, I think I drew that, maybe 8 feet wide all the way out. And then you'd go out and it'd be like 20 by 12, or we actually talked about making it bigger, maybe 20 by 20, a viewing platform, so that you could come out here and there could be room to sit or, you know,
thank you.
Fish off that. So,
thank you.
So be an area as big as this whole room is here.
Yeah.
So is there enough turning space for the cruise ship?
So that's why there's a splay in this right here. Yeah. It was coming straight out, yeah, and we actually put a dog leg to protect some of this. And we just splayed it because what they would assume they would do would come in forward and nose in here. Is that what you said?
We made a couple of changes based on the meeting that Matt and I had with ACL last week in Connecticut. We drove down specifically to talk to Andrew White, who's the director of operations, and he had a number of his people there in the meeting as well. And with this plan, they could do one of two things, and we changed the drawing accordingly. We did have it coming straight here, but it did create some bottleneck. When you have 267 feet of boat down in this corner, believe it or not, these things are relatively shallow draft, like eight feet tops.
Cruise
ships, and they've got a tremendous amount of windage. So even though they've got high-end stern thrusters, they do get a little bit of a handful to drive in really constricted space. So what we did was widen this out and shortened this pier here for this float, and then also did a turning dolphin. So kind of a backup plan. So now they can either nose in and back in over here, port side 2, or they could come in, drive in, starboard side 2, and back into this space and drive out. But it gives them a lot more flexibility with maneuvering in relationship to the
base. On the inside of that, of the breakwater, will there be boats tied up?
Yes, theoretically there'd be boats tied up on this side and this side.
That's why I splayed it open so they couldn't have room to nose it. And that's 186 feet right from there to there.
You read my mind. I was just wondering.
So even if you had two boats in there of, say, 35 to 40 foot beams, you still have a lot of room in the mouth of that for them to spin around.
One of the things we wanted to do right from the get-go was to preserve the existing federal channel and the turnaround basin. So we've got all of that preserved, and actually by rearranging where the ACL boats are now, you've actually opened up that turning basin even more than it is.
That's correct, almost half again.
And the advantage of maintaining that federal channel and the turning basin is they're theoretically on the hook for maintaining and dredging.
So is that Coast Guard approval too? I mean, we mentioned Corps, but
I don't think so. The Army Corps would pull that. The Army Corps is concerned about the channel there. It's their jurisdiction.
There are various commenting agencies that'll get in their NIMS and all.
Yeah, they distribute it out to all the agencies.